This year at ABC Classic FM, we're celebrating dance with Classic 100 Dance. My name's Anne Jones and I'm normally a radio presenter with Radio National, but for Classic FM this year I have donned the ballet slippers and I've been out on the dance boards making three documentaries all about dance in Australia. This one features community dancers and professionals from the Sydney Dance Company, and there are two more to come too. Look out for Bangarra and the Australian Ballet. Lining the streets of Australian cities, there is music. And in front of this busker in the middle of Sydney, a child is dancing, right up close to the busker and as energetically as they can manage. But for many adults, that carefree movement of childhood cannot be recaptured, whether for mental or physical reasons. I'm Anne Jones, and in this, one of three short documentaries for Classic FM, I'll be trying to understand what drives some people to shed off the fear of judgment and dance like, well, to dance like no one is watching. It could be any Saturday morning or Thursday night around the country when the people waiting outside the dance class are making too much noise and the dance teachers inside are shouting encouragement and sometimes threats over the music. In a studio at the Sydney Dance Company, there are a bunch of lawyers, librarians, clerks, nurses and students getting ready to start jumps. Catherine Goss, the teacher, explains the exercise, and then Philippe, the pianist, plays. And 40 or so adults jump. It's incredibly hard to jump at this tempo without looking like a bag of spuds and without finding that you're on the ground more than you're in the air. Outside, I corner a woman named Jodie and ask where her relationship with dance started.
I pretty much danced all of my life since I was about 3 years old. I found jazz when I was about 10, and from there on I just loved it. I fell in love with it, and even through having kids, when I got into my 40s especially, it was the perfect way to keep in shape. I never even had to think about it. It's not like going to gym where it's hard work. It's just you love it and you do it. And I think it's kept me pretty fit all my life. You can't explain it. It's just something that happens to you when you're in there. It's the music, the movement. You don't even have to think about it. It's just pure joy.
They're still jumping. Not everyone started when they were a child. Kathy is standing outside the class with her ballet shoes in hand, ready to go.
How long have you been dancing?
Formally dancing, I didn't really start till I was about 30.
Oh, okay, so you're a late bloomer in the dance world.
Oh, yeah, it's just beautiful to move to music. It's rhythmic, and it's almost like a meditation for me now. It's just beautiful. It's the only exercise I will never give up. Like, I used to put everything on hold so I could get out of my dance class. Bigger gyms, they're just like too loud, and just the emphasis is just wrong. Like here, it's about movement, it's about enjoying, and you become more confident in your body, which is fantastic, and it strengthens your body, which is wonderful. I just love it. Mentally, it just calms you. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to do, I think, for your physical being and your mental being.
On a good day, dancing is, yes, a joy. It can almost be transcendental in nature. But on a bad day, being in a class can be devastating. There are mirrors everywhere. They're an important tool for dancers, but seeing yourself there among others can be confronting. Andrew has been dancing for about 18 months now here at the Sydney Dance Company within its public classes.
I've actually been terrified of dancing since I was in first grade. I've had a phobia for about 23 years. Someone could drag me to the dance floor and I would freeze up and become rigid. So it's sort of about overcoming fears and figuring out who I was and why I was afraid of that.
In the last 18 months, have you managed to find out within yourself what was the cause of your fear?
A lot of the fear comes down to sexuality and deep-seated sort of gay shame and phobia relating to that, and some traumatic incidents in the past where I was dancing and had been shamed for that, and then that linked with a lot of other deeper fears. So it relates pretty strongly to that. I'm not entirely over it yet, but this is certainly a big part of the journey in continuing on with that. So coming down to Sydney Dance Company, I entered the contemporary class with an intro to contemporary about a year and a half ago, and it was one of the first, it felt like coming home. It was one of the places that I came into terrified, looked around the room, realized that everybody else in the space was utterly terrified as well. Not a beginner class, but one of the introductory courses where it's everyone's first step into the world. Everyone else is scared, so I'm okay with being scared, and I felt like it was okay to start taking risks in that space.
And what's it been since that first experience? How has it been for you for the last 18 months?
Since that experience, I bonded with one of the dance teachers, became friends, and have since started doing amateur dance productions.
That's a big turnaround to go from fear to love in 18 months. And some elements of Andrew's fear are completely understandable because almost everyone has a fear of being judged. It's a part of being a social human. But Andrew has persisted, and this morning he's going in for a ballet class.
It's like a meditation, I think would be the closest thing. There's always an element of fear, even when you're coming to this sort of space, but just an element, and you very quickly lose yourself in what you're doing. Having the brain focus on moving the mind and the body at the same time, concentrating on music, you leave the space generally feeling like a weight has lifted away from you.
One of the teachers at Sydney Dance Company for the open public classes is Catherine Goss, a petite woman with impeccable ballet technique and the ability to explain complex and sometimes archaic movements for a more modern, athletically inclined class.
I was six years old, and apparently I asked my mother if I could learn ballet, and I never really looked back. I think I was lucky to have the physical facility, but it was just the love of the music and moving to the music. And then that lovely sense of satisfaction of the improvement as you're a child, I think, and you know, understanding your body and understanding the moves and getting all of that. And I never really ever thought of a different career choice. That was what I wanted to do, and that was what I was going to do. And I think I feel very privileged to have achieved that.
Catherine did stints overseas and in Australia, both dancing and doing things like being a rehearsal director for Bangara. And these days, part of her job is teaching amateurs, members of the public like you and me, how to plié. A simple plié, that is, a bend of the knees, is actually incredibly difficult if you've not danced before. There are positions to learn, hips to turn out, backs to hold up, shoulders down, chin in, head up, eye focus, core activated, don't roll your feet, don't overturn out, hold the arms gracefully. And then from there, there's pliés, tendus, frappé, grand battement, and each and every ballet class follows this same structure of movement types, and yes, the names are in French. So why do people put themselves through that?
You know, I ask myself that same question, but what I've come to the conclusion is that I think exactly because of the structure, and there is a definite structure to follow. So you start at the bar and you move through and you warm up your feet, your knees, your ankle. You know, it has this definite, beautiful progression about the class as well. And that sense of achievement, perhaps, once that's all, you know, after a year when you start, you go, oh, that's what she's been meaning all this, you know. And I see it, and I see it click in there, you know, when someone gets something finally, you just go, right. And there's this clarity, and they go, oh, okay. And it's very satisfying as a teacher to see that as well. I think ballet, because of the music as well, I think you can't separate the two. I think there's this beautiful, gorgeous synergy between the movement and the music and how that makes you feel. Here we go. Very involved in the dance for Parkinson's as well, and that is really quite remarkable to see, you know, the benefits in that area as well. But it's the music, it's the dance, it's the new pathways, it's the, so, you know, if you've never done ballet before and you walk into a ballet class at the age of 40 or 60 or 20, that's, you know, you're learning new things, your body's being made to embrace and learn new things, and that's just beneficial all round, I think.
Chatting too loudly before class is a dance tradition. Sitting in a circle on plastic chairs in a town hall in Stanmore, a group of people are starting a dance class with no Lycra in sight. This is a part of the Make Your Move program for Sydney Dance Company. It's a series of classes out in the community for people who might have limited mobility but want to dance.
Caroline Spence, I'm the Director of Education and Outreach for Sydney Dance Company. There's a lot of evidence, and we're seeing more and more, that dance can help with balance, which is great for people who are recovering perhaps from a stroke or a neurological injury, but also that it's really good for cognitive functioning. So I think dance at any age and at any ability is going to help with those functions for you. But also it's really social and fun. And I think there's great benefits around well-being to be in a social environment and have some fun and interact with other people.
And then on the way down, you kind of do just do the reverse action, but always, always, always never disengage.
Shane Carroll is a dance teacher and is leading this class.
It's enjoyable, it's social. The brain is working harder than most people realise, which is good. They don't feel intimidated by it. Yeah, those benefits and anything that you're doing to improve the physical are kind of happening by stealth because people are enjoying it as they're doing it. And I've seen that firsthand with people with dementia, with people with Parkinson's, with people who are post-stroke, people who have some sort of heart disease or condition, people with autoimmune disease, even people that come to the sessions with what you would say is a pretty low percentage on a full capacity of movement. Everybody can dance, everybody can respond to music, and while they're doing so, some muscle groups are being activated. And the other thing that happens as well is people tend to breathe more deeply when they're dancing. So the blood has been oxygenated, and yeah, it's just win-win-win.
Hello, I'm Beth Clement and I live in the inner west of Sydney. I love dancing and I love music.
Beth is one of the participants in the class. She's being diagnosed with MS.
I think I move differently with music now. So I turn on music at home and I'm always swanning around doing pretend dance movements and what have you. And I think this has given me a few more different moves that I can actually do. And I find it so much fun. So it makes me very happy. In a word, happy.
Have any doctors or any of your medical professionals ever suggested that you actually go to movement classes?
No, I tell them about it. Tell them they should be sending their patients to classes because they're just so good for them. And it lifts your mood. And I know with MS, quite often depression can be associated with MS. And in fact, I've suffered that. And I think it was dance that initially got me out of a very bad period of depression. And I think that it should be used more rather than, well, with medication. I'm not against medication, but with medication and everything else, music and dance can just get you back on the, you know, right road again.
From the chair-bound warm-up, the class moves to the standing position with the back of the chair for support, and then they eventually move away from the chairs and learn a tiny sequence of choreography from the Sydney Dance Company repertoire. Make Your Move dance teacher, Shane Carroll.
We concentrate on the dance and we concentrate on people expressing themselves through movement, which is about the most primordial activity you can do. We don't concentrate on the illness or the condition or the limitation. We just concentrate on the idea, the movement that comes from that idea. The body has the capacity to learn quite complicated things very easily. And it's so rewarding for everybody at the end of one of these sessions when the participants say, I feel different, I can feel this alive, I can feel this switched on, because dance has waved its little magic wand, it can do that. And dance is universal.
And to that wellness, there is yet something more. Ballet teacher Catherine Goss. What has dance given you?
Well, I think that's a huge question. I think dance has given me my life, in the sense that dance... I am a dancer.
This identity can be just as important for professionals like Catherine as for amateurs like Lena.
So, I've pressed record, so my name's Anne. What's your name?
Lena.
Lena, it's so nice to meet you.
Lena has a degenerative neurological condition that can often translate to loss for people. Loss of balance, loss of movement, loss of independence, loss of empowerment, I suppose. But in this dance class, I could see her gripping the back of the chair. I could see her fear of falling. But then the music started. You couldn't help but watch Lena dance. She was expressing something from inside to the outside world for everyone to see.
Well, it's been a little bit of a difficult journey for me since I've had a neurological condition which prevents me from dancing as I wish. And just coming along to this class has made the difference from being in a little bit in the darkness to having a little bit of light. You know, it's like opening a window. It's like letting the fresh air in. It's reconnecting to my body and being a dancer, which I miss so much. You've probably noticed in the class that I wobble a little, but my hands are still remember all the movements and I still feel it. I just can't move my body as well, yeah.
Have you noticed a physical change?
Yes, definitely. The physical change has been more on the psychological, emotional level. Reconnecting to my feelings, I'm actually crying now, whereas before I was a little bit more, it was anxiety, it was, you know, anger, grief. Whereas, you know, now it's more sort of that joy is coming back, but it's being expressed as tears rather than, you know, that frustration or the angst of having an illness that, you know, prevents me from doing things. Yeah. Yeah.
I noticed in the class there was a moment where you got a little emotional. What happened?
I still get really emotional because as a dancer, you really want to express yourself fully. It's an expanding creative field, so you're always learning something new from other people. So when you have limitations, your mind really wants to reach for that extreme, you know, that because it's an athletic thing as well, but my body just can't keep up. So of course I miss that extension, that expansion of the body very much, and that's why I got very emotional, because I really do miss it.
All right, here we go. Beautiful.
if I had to come back, you know, all these lifetime things, if I had to come back, I would come back as a dancer any day. And I would probably be like you, taller, and I would come back as a Sydney Dance Company soloist. I swear.
I hope you enjoyed hearing all about why these people dance. And on the topic of identity, you should listen to the next episode in this series where I go to Bangarra Dance Theatre and discover a group of dancers whose identity is so interlinked with their jobs that the two are not distinguishable. And if you like dance content, maybe you should check out The Hub on Stage. This is a podcast from Radio National that's all about the stage. Find it wherever you find your podcasts or on the ABC Listen app.